Just as an aside, if you aren't going to Hillsong Days and you can't, thanks to, you can't make it to Hillsong Nights, but you do have an iPhone, or I believe it's on Android, they do have an app, like the Hillsong app, and they've just released a thing where you can actually watch some of the sessions on your phone for free. So if you can't make it, then I think you can do that. I'm pretty sure anyway. So, you know, if it's like not quite exactly what I just said, then forgive me, but I was looking at it today and it looks like you can. So that'd be cool. And I'd encourage you to do it, you know, get, you know, feed yourself. Like, why not? It's there and there's resource. So, you know, do it. Awesome. All right. This morning it was just so amazing. I don't know if you were here this morning. We had our Buy the Bricks offering, and if you know you weren't here and you want to give, then do that. But don't put any more cash up on the stage, because you know nobody's going to be here to secure that. So, but put an envelope up so that you feel like you're a part of the thing. We raised over $30,000 this morning, which is incredible. And yeah, that's just amazing, and just praise God. And you know, it's still a lot to do, but that's such a good start and such a great sign, I think. And this is just really a significant time. And I guess for me, like, I've been really trying to consciously, I guess, take note of this time and be aware of this time and soak up this time, because it is something significant that I think we will remember for a long time to come. And you know, I want to be, you know, in the future looking back and go, I was there and I did my part and I was part of that. And I think that's a really powerful thing. So, you know, enjoy this time. Get to every service that you can. Give as much as you can. Do all that just to be a part of the whole thing. Yeah, amen. So tonight, my message is called, How Do You Build a Church? I thought that was appropriate. And I'm going to pray before we start. God, just thank you so much for your word and that you want to speak to us, God. Thank you for your presence and, God, just the incredible sense of it tonight, God. And I know that you've got something special for us, and God, that each and every one of us is here for a reason, and you've got something that you really want to speak. And so, God, I just pray that you would use me tonight and you would speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so, you know, it's an exciting time, and we've spoken a lot over the past few weeks. We've had like videos and interviews and all that stuff kind of about why you might build a church, like physically a building, why we would do that, like what a new facility would do for us, how it would change things, the difference that it would make, and the how significant it would be. Yes, and if you've been here for the last few months, then you will have picked some of that up, I hope. But today I felt like it was really a time where it started to get real. You know, it started to actually happen. You know, it's kind of where the rubber hits the road, and you know, you got to get your wallet out. You know, that's when it actually starts happening, and we really start building. And the reason that we kind of did a brick wall, some people this morning I noticed, you know, haven't done much construction, because there was some bricks that, you know, if it was a real wall, it might have fallen down, but that's okay. You just need to do more Lego when you're a kid, then you would know. But we had this wall because, you know, it's they're red, and they're red because they look like bricks. Is everyone, I hope, got that, understood that? If you're just getting that now, that's cool. But that's like why they're the size and shape they are, because, you know, buy the bricks and sweet. Well, I'm glad I explained it. There you go. And so together we are building the wall. Yeah, we're building the church, and that was the visual thing for that, and the reason that we do it. I think maybe it's just because that's what I do, but I think those visual things are powerful, and be a part of it because it's a good thing, and it helps us really understand things in a different level and access things in a different way. And if everything just looked boring, then it would be boring. So, you know, and we've done a lot on that kind of why, but you know, I want to talk about the how a bit tonight. Like, how can I give when I've got all these other things going on in my life? How can something so big actually be achieved by us? How do I keep going when things don't seem to work out or things aren't seem to be happening? You know, how do I stir up my faith for giving? And how do I keep being generous when things get really tough? How do I like invest in the church and in the kingdom when it looks like, you know, things aren't working very well for me? You know, and when they are working well, how do I continue to bless and give and not get caught up in how good things are going for me? Yeah, like there are a lot of questions there. And I guess tonight I want to talk about just how we can build faith to give and be generous and how we can build the church. Is that cool? Good, good. Because, you know, it's not easy and it's not cheap. I'll just be real with you. You know, it's not something that's just going to fall into our laps and be like, oh, ta-da, there it is, beautiful building. And nor should it, you know, because anything that's significant takes work to build. And so, you know, I think that God wants to build with us, and but he wants to make us part of that process and do something with us. And so, you know, I think tonight and now is not a time to sit back and to watch, but it's really, it's a time to be involved and to get in there and to do it. And I was talking to someone this morning, and they were saying how, like, they just thought it was so great that they could come up and like, everyone was up there. And they said, like, that it was exciting that they could come up on stage and put something there. And they'd never been on the stage before. And I thought, that's cool. And I guess, like, I probably spend a fair bit of time on that stage. And so, you know, it's just whatever. But it was really cool to see that, you know, as a church, we are all part of it. And it's not just the few people who stand up on a platform and talk or play songs or something. But, like, as a whole church, we're together on the stage. And we're building everything. And it's us as a whole church together doing it. Amen. And that's so exciting. Because that's what the church is meant to be, and that's what the church is. You know, the church isn't just a building. It's not just some walls or some money to do something. The church is people, and the church is all of us coming together to be the church, yeah? And that's what the Bible says, and that's what it is. And so when we're doing something significant for God, we are the church. And I think that's one of, like, honestly, like, worship tonight was incredible, but I think one of the most powerful expressions of the church worshiping God was when people were coming up on stage and putting their offering envelopes up there and seeing people whose hearts and lives are just dedicated to God and they're willing just to give and be generous. And, you know, it was a really good moment. And, you know, I was playing this morning and it was annoying sitting in the drums watching everyone else do it. And so then I ran up afterwards. But, you know, it's exciting. So be a part of it. Yeah. Don't watch. Hey. I really just feel that so strongly that you know, none of us would sit back and watch. You know, it doesn't matter what you can give, but do something. Seriously, even if it's like $1 or $2, whatever. Do something so that, you know, you can look back and go, I was a part of that. I did that. God used me to do something significant. I didn't just watch what was happening while other people were involved. You know, it's too easy to sit back in church and watch other people do stuff significant. But that's not how I want to live, and that's not what God's got for you. And please, please, please never come with that approach to church, because it's like you miss out so much. And if all you can get from church is what you consume in a service, then, you know, you're missing like 99% of what the church is about and what God wants to do. So, you know, even if you feel like it's insignificant, do something. Good? I don't even know if I'm going to get anywhere near through any of this tonight, but we'll go for it and we'll see what happens. So how do you build a church? I think you need to know the vision. You know, if you want to have faith and you want to, you know, go beyond the normal and give something and give beyond yourself, then you need to know why you're doing it, yes? You know, if you don't know why, then you're not going to do it. And so really the first step is understanding the why. And that's why we've spent so much time talking about, you know, what it will mean for our church to have a new facility and talking to other pastors, having guys come down here and speak about the difference that it made in their lives, in their community and in their church. And why we talk about, you know, we had like the kids and Jill up here this morning talking about what a difference it would make for not only our church, but the people in our community for us to do something. Because when you get the why, then, and you understand the why you're doing it, then you'll do it. Yeah, it makes sense. You know, in Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. You know, when we get a revelation of why God's doing something and why he wants us to do something, then we can do it. Yeah, it's you know, that sounds obvious, but you know, people don't do things for no reason. And you're not going to do something significant for no reason. Like, because it's actually hard work. You know, there's this story in Acts. And if you got your Bible, open up to Acts 10. I probably won't try and read the whole thing, but I'll kind of paraphrase it because it's long. So basically, you know, Peter is here. And, you know, Peter was one of the disciples. And at the time, like, you know, Jesus had died and risen again and gone to heaven, and the disciples were starting to preach about what he had done and getting people saved, but they were only preaching to the Jewish people because they were Jewish people. And that was like, that was what they thought, that was it. That was what they were there to do, and that's what they were doing. But it says that in Caesarea, which was a town, yeah, there was this guy named Cornelius who was a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. So this was a Roman guy. If you know a little bit of your history, then, you know, ancient Rome, all of that stuff, you know, and they were controlling pretty much the known world. And so he was a Roman Gentile guy, yeah? Not a Jewish person. But he says that he was devout and God-fearing, and that he gave generously to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly. So he's this really good guy who's trying to honor God but doesn't know Jesus. And there's the vision, and so I'll get into it. You know, one day it says that this guy, Cornelius, he had a vision. And he said, send some people to Joppa, this other town, to this man called Peter. Oops, just knocked the thing over. Okay. And he says, go and talk to this guy, Peter, and he will come and he will talk to you. And basically, he's going to come and talk to him about Jesus. And at the same time, this angel comes to Peter and gives him a vision. And it's this whole thing about, like, stuff coming out, like this meal coming off a sheet. It sounds weird. And it's got all of these random animals on it. And God says to him, eat. But, you know, that was a pretty good paraphrase, I thought. But basically what God's trying to say to him, because like, there was all these animals that for the Jewish people were unclean. They weren't allowed to eat them. They weren't kosher. And God's like saying, look at this stuff here, eat it. And Paul's like, Peter's like, no, I don't want to eat it because it's unclean. And God says, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And then he goes on. And these guys come to the house where Peter is staying. So Peter's had this vision. These guys have had this vision, or Cornelius, the centurion, had this vision. And God says to Peter, go with these guys to Caesarea to talk to this guy, Cornelius. And it totally changes everything for the church. Because at this point, everything that they thought was right was just to talk to the Jewish people and to get the Jewish people saved. And they were doing that and they were going for it. But then God brings a fresh vision and tells Peter to go and do something totally different, and something that he knows he's going to be criticized for by the rest of the church because it goes against their law. It's not just like they didn't think it was a good idea. They think it's actually against their law. And so Peter does it because God tells him and shows him why and what he's going to do, and he gives him a vision. Amen. You with me on that? You understand where I'm going there? You know, sometimes like we will be doing stuff and we think that we're going okay, but we need a vision from God to do what he really wants us to do. Because like the thing that we're doing, we might be limited. And Peter and the disciples, they were limited to the Jewish people, but God's vision was so much bigger than that. And you know, as Gentiles, which I think we all are, I'm pretty glad that God did that and showed them that vision, and it wasn't just Jewish people that were saved. Amen. So, you know, we need to be people who are ready and listening for God's purpose and the vision that he wants to give us. We need people that, like, God wants to share vision with us, and he wants us to understand why, and he's speaking, but we need to be open for it. You know, you can't know why to give in the offering just because, you know, someone stands up on stage and explains why. It needs to be a vision that's in your heart. It needs to be something that opens up. So how do you do that, yeah? Well, how do you know this vision from God? For me, like, you know, God and the church is just everything in my life, and it always has been, and it always will be. And so I guess when the building fund came up, it was a bit of a no-brainer. But I think, you know, you got to listen for what God wants you to do. And I remember when I was thinking about, you know, praying about what I should give in the building fund. I felt like I got a figure, and I was like, well, that's okay. And every time I kind of tried to rationalize that down a bit and try and say, well, what if I just give a little bit less? I just felt like wrong about it. Yeah. And I just felt like, no, that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. And because that's God telling me what he wants me to do. And don't ignore that, you know. Don't ignore that voice in you that's saying, this is what you should be doing, not this, because God is trying to speak to you. And it doesn't have to be spooky. It doesn't have to be like in an amazing worship time where God speaks, but it's just that sense on your spirit of that's right and that's not. And you know, that's how God speaks to me. It's not like some big voice from heaven that booms down, but it's like, you know, something in his word just hits me. And he just, something quiet in my spirit just says, that's it. Not that, that. And so that's for me, like, and the why for me was just obvious. Just, you know, I believe in what God wants to do in our city, and I believe in what God wants to do in this church, and I believe that it's for more than just my lifetime, but it's for the generations. And we live in a city that is lost and full of people who don't know God, and so, you know, I think we should build the biggest church that we can, and then we should sell it and build a bigger one. You know, why not for 200 years and or until Jesus comes back? Like, you know, like my great-grandkids are doing another building and it's going to be like, you know, a 100,000-seat stadium. Then we'll fit all of Wollongong. So, you know, we've got so far to go, and it seems so small-minded to say that we'd be happy in a place this size and with this sort of group of people and go, yeah, no, our community of Christians is big enough, thank you. Like, that's silly. Because there are hundreds of thousands of people in our city who need to know the love of God and don't. And that's obvious for me, why you'd build a church. You know, it doesn't have to be complicated, but let God put it on your heart. Don't just hear my idea or somebody else's idea. Don't just go to your life group and hear like other people's reasons. But let God speak to you in your heart. Because when you know why, then you know how. Like, then you have faith for the how, yeah? So know why. That was number one. The other thing I think you need to do is know the cost. And when you want to buy something, it's going to cost you, yes? We understand that, unless you steal stuff. But, you know, don't. But you pay the price for something because you've decided that it's worth that price. So now you see, like, I don't know, whatever that you want to buy, and you know, okay, that's going to cost me this much money, but it's worth that much money, and so I will pay that price, yes? It's pretty obvious. That's, you know, that's pretty much how our economy works, I guess, in a really, really simple way. And building a building isn't free, we know that. And doing something for God isn't free, and it will cost you. I know that sounds exciting, and that's just a reality. And I think sometimes we see that really negatively, and we're like, oh, it's going to cost me so much. Oh, I could have done this, or I could have done that. But why don't you see it in a different light? Like, why don't you see it as this amazing opportunity to buy something truly valuable? You know, if you know the value, then you spend the money. It's like, it's crazy. And so why wouldn't you do that with things that are really significant, yeah? You know, Jesus says in Luke 14, and this is a really challenging scripture, he says there are these big crowds following him. And he turns around to them and he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his mother and father, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. So suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not sit down first and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation, the other still a long way off, and ask for terms of peace, you know. Okay. Then he says this, in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. That's harsh. But I think what Jesus is trying to get us to understand is how valuable the kingdom of God is. He goes, you know, it's worth everything that you have for your whole life. And anything less than that is ripping God off in a way. He's like, you were getting a steal. You're not paying the price that measures up to the value of the thing that you're buying. And he says, so really the only thing that would be worth, like the only way that you could pay for this incredible thing that is the kingdom and the purpose of God for your life and being a disciple of Jesus is to give your entire life. That's a challenging thing, yeah? That's really big call. But I think sometimes we look at that and we think that's such a bad thing. But really, it's an incredible opportunity to buy the only thing that matters. And, you know, why not? Now, are you willing to do that and gladly pay that price? Because, you know, you understand the value of it. And you understand that nothing is more valuable than to be called a disciple of Jesus. And so you just give everything you have for that. Amen? You know, we have this culture that seems to want everything for free, and I think the internet is largely to blame because you can find everything for free if you really want to in whatever way. But, you know, that's not the way we can approach our lives, yeah? You know, I was watching, like, YouTube this week, and has everyone else noticed that they've put ads on pretty much every YouTube video now? And I was really annoyed because there were ads, and then I realized how much of this expectation of getting that for free I had. And it's like this amazing thing that takes, you know, all these people heaps of work to build, and, you know, people are employed full-time to manage that and run that and all of that stuff. And I just was annoyed that it's starting to actually cost me in watching some ads, which is still annoying, but, you know, it's like going to a cafe and expecting your coffee for free, I guess. You know, everything is going to cost us. You know, building is going to cost us money. You know, ministry costs us time and effort. And, like, we had a sleepover on Friday night for youth. And, you know, it costs sleep and energy. It might even cost you tomorrow when you go to work. But who cares? Yeah? Like, that's a price that, I don't know, I'd be willing to pay. You know, if I see a young guy make a decision for God and become a disciple of Jesus, then, you know, I won't sleep for a month. Like, who cares? You know, we've got to understand that the price is worth it. And that, like, not be afraid of that. Because I think it's so easy to be like, oh, it's asking too much. I can't give that. I can't do that. But, you know, what else are you saving up for? Really? You know, like, giving your entire life for God and for His kingdom, that's the only thing that you can keep when you die. So, I'd rather buy that. Yeah. All right. Sorry. You know, there's this story in Matthew 26 of this woman who comes to Jesus, and she has this expensive jar of perfume. You might have heard it before. And she breaks this perfume over Jesus' feet, and she washes his feet with it. And, like, the Bible says that it was worth, like, a whole year's wages. And, you know, the disciples are indignant when they see it, and they think it's a waste. Because they're like, you know, that money could have been given to the poor. Like, they have these good rationales, yeah? But Jesus says, you don't understand the value here. You don't understand what she did. But she understood the value of Jesus. She understood what it was worth. And so she gave everything that she had because she knew it was worth it. You know, that's how I want to live my life. And that's how I want to see all of us live our lives, that we would be people that, you know, you get to the end of your life and be able to say, I gave everything I had and it was worth it. Amen? So that's know the cost, and, you know, just go for it. Like, honestly, this is an aside, and I'm out of time, but don't be worried about what things might cost you to serve God, because it's so valuable, and it's silly. I don't know. It's amazing, and we get so much given to us so undeservedly from God, so why would I complain about anything? Amen. All right, so the last thing I think you need to know is to know the Father. You know, when you know God, then you can trust Him. And you'll never find someone more trustworthy than God. And so that's, I guess, I just want to maybe finish with that. Maybe the guys will come up. You know, it's easy to get worried about the world and about what has gone wrong or what could go wrong or what's going wrong. But if you know God and you're close to Him, then you don't need to worry about any of that stuff. You know, this week I did my building fund offering and the amount that God had said me, and then, like, the next day I got a letter from the tax office saying that I owed all this money that was pretty much exactly the same amount as that I'd just given, and that I needed to pay it in the coming week. And I don't know what, I've got to call them up and sort that out. But you know, it's easy for stuff like that to happen and knock your faith and be like, oh. But if you know God, if you know the Father, then you know that He loves you and that He wants to provide for you and that He will always make a way and that you never have to be worried. And so I'm not worried. You know, it'll work itself out. But I know that I did what God told me to do, and that's what matters. And I know that He's my Father in heaven, that He loves me, and that He will make a way. And when you know that and when you know Him, then you'll do anything because you won't be worried about anything. Amen? You can trust God's promises. Amen? All right. I just want to maybe, let's spend some time, everyone stand with me and let's pray together. I just feel like this is something that we are all in together. And it's not just something that a few people do or a few people will do. And it was so powerful to see everyone coming up this morning and putting their things on the wall and doing their part. And I guess I want to pray with you if you just want to be a part of it in a fresh way. If you want to really, you know, just put a stake in the ground or something tonight and say, yep, this is me. I'm going to be counted in this process. And I want to do something significant for God. I want to give my life for the only thing that's valuable. I want to do what God tells me to do. I don't want to worry about the world or what's going on, but I just want to be a part of this. And so if that's you, then maybe just raise your hands with me and we'll just pray together and really believe God. I really believe that as we stretch ourselves and we give in faith and we do more than what we think we can, that God is there for us and that He will make a way and He will make our paths straight and that He will bless us and that He will do everything and we don't need to worry about it. And so I just want to pray for just blessing and favor and vision and purpose, but that we would count the cost, we would pay the price willingly because we know how valuable it is. God, I thank you for all these people here tonight. I thank you for every heart and every life and every person that is just open to you, God, and just pray just your blessing on their life, God, that you would just bless people's lives in every way. You would bless their homes, you would bless their work, their finance, their giving, their everything, God, that you would just pour out your blessing and your favor as we give and as we seek you with everything we've got, God. I just pray that we would be a people that are willing and glad to just give everything that we have for your kingdom and your purpose, God, because we know that it's worth it. God, I pray that you'd really speak to us, God. If you've already put stuff on our heart and given, and we've already given, then you just, you know, help us to celebrate that and not worry about that. Help us to enjoy everything that's happening and look at what we can do more in the future. And if we haven't given yet or we haven't done something for the building yet, God, put something on our heart that we can do. Stretch our faith a little bit, maybe. Put something that we maybe hadn't thought of, but God, do something in our heart that's just fresh, God. And for people whose hands are up, their hearts are open, God, stretch them. God, stretch us and challenge us. Show us how valuable it is, God. And yeah, God, just speak to us really clearly about this time in our church, in this season, and God, just how we can be a part of it. Amen. Before we finish, sorry that we've gone a little bit over tonight. If you don't know God and you're not right with God, then you know I want to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer with everyone tonight, just to accept Him into your life. And you know that's what it's all about. And that's the only reason that you build a church, is that you see people come to know what God's done for them, what Jesus did for them on the cross, and know that it's real, know that it's true, and know that He has a plan and a purpose for their life. And so if you want to know Jesus and you want to know what that means, or you just want to open your heart to more of God, then we're going to pray a prayer together. It's on the screen already, so we'll just pray it and then talk to the person that you came with tonight about what that means for you. Let's just pray. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Amen. Thanks, guys.